Welcome back, everyone. Pastor Chris here, and Colossians chapter 1 is about Jesus. In fact, the entire book of Colossians is thoroughly, completely, front to back, and top to bottom, all about Jesus. Now, some of you are saying, that sounds awesome, but others may be wondering, why is it always about Jesus? I mean, he's just one guy. That's a great question, even if you weren't thinking it. We started out yesterday with Paul's greeting, and already we have from the apostle of Christ to the brothers in Christ, thanking the Father of Christ for their faith in Christ, which, by the way, came from Epaphras, a servant of Christ. Anyone catch a theme yet? And notice that all that Jesus in the church is the reason that it's healthy. Remember our three essentials. Understand grace, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and know Jesus. Today, we get to know Jesus. After the greeting, Paul thanks God for the Colossians because they're a healthy church, bearing fruit with faith, hope, and love because they understand God's grace. Then Paul prays for them in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Paul's prayer goes on a few more verses, and it's pretty awesome. Read carefully and you'll get some good insight on how you should pray for others. Paul doesn't ask for less trials. He asks for more perseverance. He doesn't ask for a successful life. He asks for a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him. Fruitful in good works and growing in knowledge. First, growing in the knowledge of God's will, and then growing in the knowledge of God Himself. And that is what it's all about. In John 17, Jesus tells us what eternal life is. It's not just living forever. It is knowing God and knowing His Son. Not just knowing about, knowing personally. In verse 12, Paul prays that we would live in joyful thanks. I love that phrase. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. God, our Father, has qualified us, made us worthy to inherit the kingdom. That is a reason to live joyful and thankful. In verse 13, Paul reminds us that the Father rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His Son. Jesus redeemed us and He forgave us. That means He took our brokenness and made it whole, and He took the sins that broke us and made them gone. We belong in Jesus' kingdom. And then Paul gives one of the great descriptions of Jesus. This is the foundation of the church, who Jesus is, and it is one of the very mountain peaks of Scripture, starting in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. Stop there a moment. If nothing else, this should make you stand in awe of Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. That means that seeing Jesus is seeing God. Mankind is made in God's image. Jesus is God's image. He is the firstborn. Now, that does not mean the first one born, as in created. In Greek and Hebrew, the word firstborn is a title, not an event. It is a designation of authority. Jesus created everything and is the head over everything. That is the heart of the whole passage. He is not first as in beginning of time, but first as in before time. In verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now that's a cool verse. When a curious little kid keeps asking, what came before that? What before that? And that? The answer stops at Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Some believe that means that Jesus holds every atom together, the mysterious force in every nucleus that keeps the protons from blowing apart. I don't know, but I do know that without Jesus, my life blows apart. Jesus holds me together. Then verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. That's it. Jesus is supreme, first in everything, first in life, first in afterlife. And if you still have any doubts as to whether this means that Jesus is God, read verse 19 with me. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Did you catch that? All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. All of it. Jesus is fully God and fully man. Not 50-50. Then verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And here Paul moves from who Jesus is to what he did for us. He reconciled us. That's a big word. Reconciled means made right, like a broken friendship that just hurts every time you come near it. That was our relationship with God, alienated, separated, and just hurting. But Jesus reconciled us through his blood. And that takes us from who Jesus is to who we are. In verse 21, we were alienated from God, enemies, because we did evil. But we are reconciled, made right with God by Jesus' death. And now we are without blemish and free from accusation. Then Paul moves to who he is. Paul is a servant of the church. In verse 25, it was God's commission on Paul's life to present the word of God in its fullness. And that brings me to essential life habit number one. Life is made up almost entirely of habits. And there are just a few essential habits to following Jesus. The first is a healthy Bible habit. It's not a step to heaven, and it won't make God love you more. He already loves you perfectly. But we read the Bible to draw close to that love and to walk in it. It's not a got to, it's a get to. Read or listen to the Bible for yourself. But what if you don't understand it? Well, that's why God gives us Bible teachers, to explain it. Check out the B-side, and I'll dig into what these verses have to say to Bible teachers. But you have to be careful. Make sure they're explaining it right. We'll see that in chapter 2. But here, God commissioned Paul to present the Word of God in its fullness, the whole Bible and the whole message. And in verse 26, to reveal a mystery. And this is one of the great and awesome mysteries revealed in God's Word. Right at the end of verse 27, this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the big one. This Jesus, who is before all things, eternal and awesome beyond description, is in you. If you are his church, he is in you. And that is the hope that drives your faith and your love. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the end, it really is all about Jesus. So in verse 28, Paul says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. This is the calling card of every preacher. Do we proclaim truth? Do we proclaim wisdom or love or hope? Yes, but all of these are empty without Jesus. We proclaim Christ. All the depths of love are in Jesus, the highest hopes and the most profound truths. So we preach Christ so that you will become fully mature. Because the secret to growing in Jesus is knowing Jesus. Read Colossians 1 today and read it like it's personal. Get to know Jesus and stand in awe. If you don't know Jesus, be reconciled today. If you do, then live in joyful thanks and proclaim him.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.